Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, beautiful humans, and welcome to episode 37 of Provocation. I'm in a much, much better mood this week, my friends. I had a podcast come out today. I mean, I did. I'm doing it right now. You're listening to it right now. But I had one where I was a guest. It's nice. It's nice to be on the other side. I listened to it back. After it, I'm so self-critical. I think we all are. But I listened to it back. And, well, I'm impressed with my knowledge, yo. And it was with the gorgeous, awesome, intelligent, strong, powerful, funny as fuck woman, Sophie Hagen, who is the Danish comedian. That's in her intro. Thanks, ADHD brain. Anyway, speaking of knowledge, this week's guest is, she reminded me so much of me in the way that if somebody says something and it triggers me to say something in response, especially to do with educating people around sex work, she reminds me so much of me. She is so knowledgeable. This girl has done her groundwork, her research, her first-hand experience. She's exceptional. We mentioned it briefly in this episode, but she herself sparked a huge, huge change in strip club culture in the UK by being the first person to be to win a court case to be ruled as a worker, as opposed to a self-employed contractor, despite the fact when you work in a strip club, they tell you what to wear, what to eat, who to talk to, how many, whatever you do, they take a cut of your earnings, they tell you what time to turn up, what time you can leave, you have to tip out to all the people you pay to work, and you get fined if your hair is wrong, your shoes are wrong. I could go on. Sometimes in America, you get fined if you forget to take your clothes off or something, or what if you don't know the song? What the fuck, dude? Anyway, there's much more rage like this inside the episode, so I will save it. We're in there, but please welcome the awesome Sonia, also known as I'm Your Electric Girl. If you've not seen her perform, she's mesmerizing. She's so engaging. She did a fundraiser, a striptease fundraiser the other day, and she had a bottle of wine and whipped cream, and she was dancing, and she was engaging. She's so engaging. I could listen to her talk forever, honestly. And I guess that's what we're about to do, and that's what you're doing now. So I'll shut the fuck up. Do I have anything else to report? No. Are we all bored? Yes. It's a full moon on the 7th, friends. So at midnight, it will clock over to the 7th, and it'll be full moon, which is also the flower moon, I believe. It's all good. It's powerful. Can you feel the energy? I feel the energy. I'm energetic. Wow. That was too much. Anyway, scale it down. Bring it down. Oh, whoa, Becca. If you would like to find me on the internet, you can find me everywhere except Instagram at Cats and Crows. KatsandCrows. If you want to find me on Instagram. You can find me at Riots and Crows. RiotsandCrows. If you want to find me on any way you get your podcast, App Store, Google Play Store, whatever you use, and you would like to find a spare minute to leave me a rating, that would be so helpful. If you have spare longer than a minute, good gracious, all this free time we have, please leave me a review. It'll be very kind, and it will really help other people discover the podcast. And, you know, human conversation is important. I think if we haven't fucking learned that by now, friends, in this state of affairs, we're fucks. Anyway, friends, please welcome the absolutely powerful, knowledgeable, sorceress, sex witch that is the amazing Sonia / I'm Your Electric Girl to episode 37 of Crovisation.
When I was growing up, all my role models were male. I didn't see anyone I could relate to in the press, online, anywhere. Now, I'm surrounded with the most phenomenal women. They've each endured unique hardships and survived. More than survived, they thrive. But still, women are not equal in the world. Not represented in the media. Not treated equally online. And still subjected to sexism in everyday life. Alternative women especially are more a hashtag than they are real humans. I want to change that. I want you to see the women I see. I want you to hear them. This is Crovisation.
Hi, beautiful humans. It is a nice, sunny... What day is it? A Thursday? It's a Friday.
It's Friday.
It's Friday. We're in the middle of lockdown, and I'm joined by the wonderful Sonia / I'm Your Electric Girl. Hi, girl.
Hi, Rugga.
How are you?
I'm quite all right. I mean, to be honest, to be 100% honest, it's kind of like up and down period for me because I moved from UK and I'm in Poland right now where I'm from, and I'm living with my parents looking for a job. So
tricky.
It's quite, it's a bit of a hard time, but I'm obviously lucky to have them here and stay with them.
That's so lovely.
But yeah, it is a bit of a tricky situation because, as you know, I do sex work, as you do.
Yes.
And my options right now are quite limited, even if it comes to online work. And, you know, real life is not an option at all, so...
Not even an option. So I was speaking to the gorgeous Ivy yesterday, a mutual friend of ours, and she's, like, her work's just been taken out, like, the legs have been taken out. How much has it affected you, like, completely?
I can't, like, I was trying to do some online work starting, I started launching the website with Nudes on Admire Me, but when I started doing it and I was trying to promote at the same time, I was going literally nuts, and I was like, I can't do it.
It's a lot of work, isn't it?
It is, and the fact there's so many people in it, which are not only sex workers, but also people like models who wanna join the industry now to make some money. It makes it double competitive. And to get people from any sort of social media is super tricky because of anti-sex work guidelines we have.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Instagram, Facebook, and although Twitter is quite open, it can limit you at some point. So I was feeling like I've been doing too much at one point because I was building the website from the zero. I was getting people to it.
Oh my
and
God.
I've been on my phone 24/7.
It hurts like, your brain.
Yeah, like you can't do it because you have to stop at some point. You have to have conditions for that. And I was doing it when I was in self-isolation, in quarantine in Poland. It was a bit abstract because I was had to be locked down after I come back from UK because regarding to Polish law, everyone who's traveling from abroad has to go for self-isolation for full 2 weeks.
That means
you cannot leave the space, you cannot contact anyone personally. And I've been alone and, you know, 24 hours per 7 on my phone. Aww. And, you know, in engaging with so many people I don't know. And you know how it is when you do sex work. Sometimes you come on people who push you to do something for free. Like, they want your time. They want contact with you.
Absolutely.
But they actually not going to give you anything in return. And you can't recognize their intentions.
No, online is so much more difficult.
Online, right? It's much more harder to define what people want online if you haven't been doing
100%.
And you've been doing people real life.
Basically.
And you've been meeting them. Yeah, exactly. And you know, you can't read their faces. You can't know what they have in mind when they just speak to you through, for example, Instagram. You try to advertise your work online.
It's so hard on Instagram, just extra anyway.
Yeah. And it makes also kind of like no sense, because you can risk, you know, it's not about your account only and the job you've been like trying to promote the whole time using social media.
Mm-hmm.
But also you can come through someone who will just make you like a real damage, you know, like
it's upsetting sometimes. I mean,
yeah, like you will send somebody to your page and somebody will be like actually not supporting you at all but doing like other things.
Yeah,
you know? so it is quite weird, I would say. And it's been intense. So when I moved to my parents, sorry, that was been like a long chaotic anecdote. I think at some point you will need to cut this thing because I'm just like talking, and I'm like,
no,
did I already lose my point?
I'm really bad. I will ask you. I'll be like, what did I just ask you? Because I've forgotten already. So I hope you know.
Yeah, I do. I'm just like, yeah, like just try to lead me at some point if I'm gonna lose my track.
I'm fine. I'll lead you just as long as you keep talking. We want to know all about you.
So I think when I moved to my parents, I realized, okay, if I want to do like online work, like advertising my page with nudes at some point and build my page with nudes, how I'm going to do it if I'm living with my parents?
Tricky.
Right now. To be honest, you know, we are here living together. My parents don't work because obviously the work is taken from most of the people right now. At some conversation with my parents, because they know what I've been doing for years. Like, I told them after about a year of doing stripping what I've been doing, and they've been always supporting me, which is sometimes as a kind of like local office to use the computer.
Oh. I love when parents are supportive.
Yeah. Yeah. So I told them, you know, like I will need to sometimes make some workshops or some phone calls. So I would need a space. And they were like, yeah, okay, we'll work things around. But as far as I can, my room is like, it's not a setup for it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also doing some sort of dirty talk with a customer, I need to have my privacy for that.
And your parents are there
doing all of this.
Ooh.
Yeah, like you know, even if English, they can speak English. Boy, like it's just something that's I can't do because it's gonna be like uncomfortable for them as well.
Yeah,
so I decided,
it's just
like,
unusual.
To step back from,
I don't work when I live with my parents. I agree.
And I was like, I need to step back from sex work right now because my options are very, very limited. And I decided to take a break from it, although I'm trying to support the community and take action in some. Participate in actions like some sort of donations or workshops that were offered me with Pinky Promises and Crossbreed coming soon. But you know, it's not like I can be full time or part time and even do things I planned myself, like having website with nudes. So I think for people who've been doing a job like me in real life only, that is very hard position right now. Even if you're doing stuff, not necessarily as stripping, but escorting as well, you know?
Yeah.
And then you are in another country, it's like...
You lose your client base. Yeah, it's very local. Exactly. You build up a business, don't you? Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So right now I'm a bit cut off. Cut off from sex work at some point. And, you know, times will definitely change later.
We have to keep that in mind, don't we? Do you feel a bit cut off more from your community as well? Because sex work is such a close-knit family. Do you feel a bit isolated?
That's double tricky question for me. So I had really unpleasant situation regarding the activism I had. And partly like community of like supporting like sex workers like online on some social media cut me off and kicked me out from some groups.
So that's sad. We don't need that. We need to stick together.
Yeah, and it's just because some different kind of like political views on stuff, you know.
Yeah, I understand.
From one perspective, I already went through sort of like ostracism even before coronavirus because I had things related to my activism. Not sure if I need to talk about the union UVW right now and the case I had with my ex-employer, because that's a very broad topic.
It's a huge broad topic, but yeah, you are a landmark kind of person, I think, in the sex work community. So we'll touch on it later, but for now, you continue about you.
But yeah, so from one thing that like already like happened before, and now, you know, I'm in a country which haven't built that much of like community myself because I've been actually more explicit about my work in UK. So yeah, like I lost like personal touch with people and friends and allies I had in London when I was living there for past 4 years, and it does feel a bit like a bit tough, but on the other hand, I started contacting them more online. So I think the situation that, you know, like when you're living with somebody close in the same city or country and you know they're there, you're already feeling like secure and good because you know
somewhere to
something
go.
Happens. Yeah, exactly. Like you can talk and you can meet and, you know, you've got this thing, like you've got this feeling that people are around you.
Yeah.
And then when you need to move your stuff around and move out, you just need to rely on the internet.
Yeah.
So I think my closest relationships with allies and friends from the industry are getting a bit like stronger now through it because I just started talking with them more. And that's, I think, what everyone is doing right now.
Yeah, same. That's why I started doing this again.
It is just complicated in terms of... you know, like people won't be able to just see you like personally face to face, and we do need this kind of like human affection and human touch, you know what
I
mean?
Yeah, I need it. I crave it. I've really been craving a hug because I live alone. So apart from my cat, obviously, he's fine. But yeah, it's really tough, right? Especially when you're very used to an in-person job such as you.
Yeah, I think... Sorry.
No, you're fine.
I think also if you're doing sex work, your whole job is based on your human relationships with others.
It is. I feel like I've gotten out of practice of conversation. Like I tried to talk to my, I bumped into my therapist in the supermarket today and I was like, how do I talk to another human?
Yeah, and you know, I think It all depends, like, what kind of work you do. Like, you know, I think, like, both actually professions, I mean, like, online job or job in the real life, depends on your communication skill. because it's not only about, I mean, like, it is about selling your service, if it's gonna be stripping or it's gonna be like mating for some hot sex or like, you know, selling your naked pictures. You need to make the relation with somebody who will be like, oh yes, I want to get that, right?
Yeah.
So it is it is tricky to do it now only through the internet. Sorry, I think I lost the question.
No, you're fine, don't worry. What was I saying it's just tricky, isn't it, like remembering how to interact as a person in real life in this current lockdown, because it's just the whole world has changed. It's very unusual. Like, what's the vibe like where you are?
Well, to be honest, Poland is one of the safest country in the Europe, because the amount of people who are infected and the amount of people who died is the lowest in the whole Europe.
Thank God.
The thing is, the government took very quick actions once we had first cases of the virus here, and we closed the borders over a month ago.
Oh wow.
They've been very tough laws and strict laws on human contact and basically having your normal day routine.
Yeah. But, tell me about some of these laws.
Because it was going like more and more extreme within last few weeks.
Yeah.
So about 2-3 weeks ago, when I got to Poland, there were like new restrictions about no use of public spaces at all, that is parks, boulevards, no use of public bicycles. People can only leave to the shop or for essential needs. There are selected hours for older people to go to the shop, selected hours for other people, limited spaces of people who are in public transport, banks and postal office and stuff.
Yeah.
No living of the house if you are under 18.
Really?
Only in the presence of an adult. I'm just like thinking about it because it was such a like long
Document. This sounds like loads.
And basically there are like massive fines for that, so you can get up to £6,000 for example riding a bicycle.
£6,000
Yeah. And the fines are real. I mean, that's what's happening.
Do you know anyone affected?
There have been like a few cases, you know, in newspapers ever since then. And the biggest issue was last week when one of the women who was also protesting against some crazy anti-abortion law that are taking place right now. She basically left the shop, but she had a poster of the protest on her jacket. And the police officer stopped her saying that she's going to be fine now. And she was explaining, I'm just like going to the shop. But literally the political action taken against her because she was trying to protest at the same time. And the thing is, the police officers had no right to give the fines to the Polish citizens because there hasn't been a state of emergency announced in Poland. And regarding to the constitutional law, the police officers cannot fine us, so they just do it like unlawful. They had no right to do it.
That's so bad.
Yeah, and even if they're like told so even if this woman who was stopped read the big statement she had regarding to the constitution's points this and that, you are not allowed to do this and that to me, and I'm not taking this fine from you. I'm asking you also to give me the number of your documents and your full name and
service,
so I can trust you. You are a police officer, and he didn't want to do that. So, you know, crazy things are happening, and he basically fined her or didn't take her response. And I'm like, you know, what's happening here?
It's such a
massive, just mind blow, because Poland's been struggling with stuff like this since the right wing government won the election in 2015. So
I've heard a few things about it. Yeah, just about anti-abortion. Is it quite a religious state company? A country?
Yeah, so basically the patriarchal is massive here in terms of society and how it is educated on stuff like, for example, sex and body.
Oh, I see.
And it does link with religion at all, because obviously right-wing government literally works in cooperation with the church.
They seem to.
And although the right-wing government did some sort of like support from the poorest in the society, that literally anti-women, anti-LGBT community, I'm not even gonna like say sex workers, because sex work isn't like fully actually a job like and a profession in Poland. So
I was
gonna
ask about that next, for sure.
Yeah, so just coming like short like on your first question regarding Polish right-wing government, it's super tough. Like basically abortion is gonna, like their plan is to make legislation to ban abortion completely and make it a crime.
How?
As well as sexual education. And it is something you see, like I'm losing my words right now.
I feel like I'm losing my mind.
Yeah, and you know, think you are from country like this, and you've been living in a city and place like London.
Yeah, very progressive.
And you know, and you come back, and there's like God, like we're fighting for basic human rights here, because
100% human rights. Whoa, yeah. Are they using the lockdown pandemic to like put further restrictions on human rights like that?
Yes. So basically the whole system with the lockdown is just because they want to push the presidential elections in May. So that is the worst thing. Like, it's not about society, it's not about the safety. The restrictions and the law, which is going like tougher and tougher, is just so they can squeeze the pandemic, make as little infection spread as possible, and then be able to have presidential election in May, because they've been pushing for it. And the thing is, like, you've got no opposition, because people from other parties cannot even advertise themselves to the citizens, right? Like, how are you going to do it through the lockdown?
You can't do a rally,
And then they break constitution all the time, so they try to actually tell the society they are allowed and they can and they should make the presidential election, just so the right-wing government can be still on top and the right-wing president be our president for next 4 years. So
like, they know what they're doing, and they pretend that it's just a fortunate coincidence, but it's just so horrible, isn't it, to know that somebody is really maliciously planning to do this.
I think Polish right-wing Polish government is very confusing in their actions, because on one way they say they want to help the society, but it's pure manipulation. And mate, I'm so sorry, but it's just like my heart is like rising
rage.
Like this, and I'm just like thinking about it, because I'm just like so furious, and I don't like swear right now.
For you, no, please, your rage is so important in creating change in the world, because unless people hear and see about these sort of things, like in the UK we have our own struggles with sex work and etc., but I think in other countries people are unaware that things like this are even further locked down. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So how is Poland in regards to sex work? What is that like? What's that environment?
Okay, so in 2014 we had our first group of support created by a few activists and sex workers called Sex Work Polska. And this is an initiative that's about supporting people who work in the industry and also dealing with legal status of work, mental health of the workers, migrant workers, and also giving the society sort of sexual, not sort of, but the sexual education on the topic. Mm. So regarding to the legal status of the work, it is very tricky because sex work was officially abolished in the 50s in Poland. Mm. But it was only prostitution that was legalized. Which is not fully decriminalized, let's press that. Mm. It's not a fully decriminal, it's abolitionism, yeah. And then all sort of other professions like camming, stripping, etc. is not even recognized as a work. So that is not legislated as well at all. Yeah. Mm. And the weirdest thing is we've got plenty of strip clubs in the whole of the country. Let's talk about
I've
now.
Been there.
let's like take strip clubs as an example. Mm. And how the business work is it is registered at a disco bar and people who work in it are bartenders, hostess, waitress, and all of that. And the worst bit is even prostitutes who have sort of right to work, right? Because their job is partly legalized, they're still being examined by the government, checked by police, fined, and the law is like always being manipulated by the government. So actually those people who are told you can do your job are still affected and literally chased. So it is crazy because we have a lot of people who work in the sex industry in Poland. And we have no support from the government at all. And yeah, some of us, like for example me, a stripper, like I'm not a worker at any sort of point in this country. I can't be a stripper. There is no such work like stripper here officially. It doesn't exist.
How crazy.
So I cannot like amend my workers' rights.
Yeah,
you do. This work is not even like, you know.
You just can't even define it as a job. That's crazy. Yeah. So they're like trying to erase you almost.
Yeah, and the Sex Work Polska, the initiative I told you about, has been doing a lot in terms of activism and visibility of sex workers to explain to government that they need to change the rules and, first place, help people who are in the industry.
Mm.
And they've been doing so much. And, you know, there are people like me or others who will go on streets and participate in strikes, shout for our rights and stuff. But I think to be recognized in this industry and get sort of employment, like definition, registration, that's a battle that may take us just a few decades. Because, you know, it's a matter of, like, talking with the government, but to talk with the government first, you do need to educate very narrow-minded, often stereotypical thinking society, because we do struggle with that in Poland as well. The stigma of sex workers is bigger than, for example, in UK, where, for example, you can be a sex worker, you can be escort, you can be dominatrix, you can be a stripper. And
the public
people,
kind of idea is different,
like people know about it, and, for example, you won't be having a problem with finding a boyfriend, and the guy will meet you at work, for example, in a strip club, or will talk to you on your website, but will be like, oh, it's cool what you're doing, but... Yeah, like, I must imagine it must be hard to have a boyfriend or family because you do what you do.
Mm. So, that stigma, you know, is so bizarre, isn't it? It's created.
It's paradox. It's just paradox because people, you know, use your service, but then they judge you.
Cycle. Yeah. It's bizarre. It's really bizarre. How long have you been involved in kind of sex work activism? Because you're so knowledgeable, Sonia. You're so articulate. You've got so much information that even I didn't know about. So what's your kind of like activist origin story?
I firstly involved in women's rights activists in 2016, and that was in Poland. And that was literally in April 2016 when the coalition of Polish activists sort of arose within a few days on Facebook groups because the Polish government wanted to ban abortion completely. And that was my first step into activism. And then same year, after a few months, I moved to London for my studies. And when I started working as a stripper for a few shifts late 2016, then I decided to do it full time 2017. And that's how I found out about East London Strippers Collective.
I love them.
Yeah, I mean, that was like a game changer for me, because I was like, wow, collective of strippers?
Yeah, specifically like strippers. Yeah. Alice,
like people together, like strippers who talk about the job, educate the society and do, you know, yeah, fun events as well. I was like, wow, you know? Exactly. I'm like, God, like Poland, like yeah, where I have been living for so long. And it's been a big wow for me. And I joined in, and I remember I met the fundraisers of the collective, Stacy and Billy, amazing people.
Amazing.
And participated in a few projects with Stacy, like we did some talk in Amnesty International on sex work. And same time when I came to London and I was involved with the collective, I was also involved with the Polish women's rights activist group that has its equivalent back in Poland, the group that was built in April when the anti-banning abortion strike arose. Sorry, that's like a big
anecdote. Not worse, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just like thinking if my English is all right now.
No, your English is beautiful.
I sound kind of like, you know, understandable.
You sound perfect. Absolutely.
Oh, thank you, darling. That's a good to know. So it was in 2017 when I started to do things sex work activist related, and also I started running a bit of like sort of stuff on my social media. And then it was 2018 when the Union for Sex Workers was built by a collective work of a few organizations of feminist and sex work activist groups like Swarm, Islam Strippers Collective, Strike for the Cream, etc. And it was a branch of United Voices of the World Union. And
yes, that's our
union. We started to do the collective work together to change the working conditions and fight the stigma in UK. And that's how I've been involved mostly. And I've been like also doing stuff on social media regarding like talking about the industry, how it is to work. And then in July 2018, black sort of like day came for sex workers, because SESTA and FOSTA was announced in USA.
Oh God, my heart.
Yeah, and I think we must have met on a strike in front of the Parliament in London.
I think so. I believe so. Yeah. With the sign, I had the red sign.
Yeah, because most of sex workers that day in July were together shouting there for.
We were stood literally outside, and they pretended that we weren't there.
I mean, the whole thing. That's basically what happened.
And legit.
The worst thing is that, somebody established sort of a law because it's for the protection, but you know, it's sort of bullshit because it's aiming to kill and shut down the whole industry completely.
All sex work.
Because of course, like Trump doesn't want any sex workers to even still cooperate.
He doesn't want.
He still uses the services and himself.
He does, doesn't he? That's the fucking fucked up thing. There's so many industries in the world that people want shut down, but it's never the consumers. Like, you would never see like people of the drug world wanting that to be shut down, but the people that consume sex work want it shut down.
Yeah, it's such a paradox.
It is.
And I think what frustrates me most is
many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
It's people who will just like, oh my God, like, I even don't know. Like, when I'm thinking about it right now, I'm just like,
it hurts.
People are like so fucked up, and they just like piss me off so much. I don't want to just say it.
Tell the world. Honestly, we're sick of it. It's sick of being dehumanized. I'm sick of being treated second. Did you see that sex workers are written explicitly out of financial aid for the pandemic in America? It's just disgusting that it's so blatant and in our face, and people don't seem to know.
Yeah, I think it's just weird, like, coming back to what we were talking before about the consumption, like, you know, it's just, like, normal job. Like, it doesn't matter if you are posing naked for a photographer. It doesn't make a difference if you are masturbating on a sort of... like website. Doesn't matter if you're playing porn, doesn't matter if you strip, doesn't matter if you are whipping someone, it doesn't matter what you do. It's like, it's just a thing you're skilled at.
It's an action.
It's your service, and you've got a person who wants to receive it,
and so, they're paying, and that makes it a job.
Exactly. And
it's like just so many jobs that people do the same action, like a chef, everybody cooks. But once somebody gets paid, it becomes a job. Everybody fucks. And once somebody gets paid, it's a job. Why is it different?
I just don't understand why, you know, and I know, like, I understand, like, people might be like, oh, we are tired of hearing, like, sex work is work. Like, of course it is. I'm like, yeah, of course it is, but you... people still actually don't get it and don't understand it.
Honestly, and it's ridiculous how many people don't.
And
still,
you know, there's so many things to be sorted in terms of legislation, the work and the job in different countries, and just making it a job where the person who gives the service decides fully about themselves. That's why we need full decriminalization. So it is not the person who hires me in the club tells me how I work, but me myself be like, I'm gonna come to the job this and that day, and I will either pay house fee or not. House fee is another thing that actually doesn't.
Oh, we spoke about that with Ivy. Oh my God.
Yeah, and you know, and this should be like I should be in power of making decisions and then, you know, giving my service to the customers, but we don't have fully decriminalization, so people who are, for example, escorts need to team up with brothels and stuff, and then, like, horrible things happen there, and I'm like, we want to stop the violence, we want to stop the crime, and we want to make people safe. So if you want to make people safe, if you want everyone to be happy, just give them opportunity to speak for themselves, make decisions for themselves, and have the power. Don't tell me you want to save people from trafficking by shutting down the whole industry.
It's not going to stop it. It's going to still happen. It's just going to make it harder to find them.
It's
still going to
happen. It's just like you're not going to be able to see it at all because you will erase the industry. So
that's
it officially doesn't exist. And I'm like, this is like such a like paradoxical fucked up thing to do. And
to me, it's so simple, but some people don't get it, right?
Yeah. I just don't understand people who are like, we are feminists. We want to like protect women, and you can't be doing that work. You shouldn't be doing that work, and I will help you. So I'm going to take the work from you. And I will tell you what to do for your money and what to do for your job, and also I will tell you that this job is bad. And I'm
yeah,
like,
and you're
baby.
Bad and you're a
like,
victim.
I'm like, you are a victim of patriarchal system
yeah.
to think like that.
Listen
and to
tell
the another woman. Yeah. And to tell another woman what to do with her body and how to earn the money. I'm like, what?
Oh
so
my God.
The whole things that were happening in UK last year when some feminist group took pictures
oh
in
my gosh,
the club
the Women's
in
Equality Party. It was
yes.
a political party which is headed by a female queer comedian and another lady. Oh, and I thought they were fully women's equality and I was behind them and they were at the women's strike, I think, when Trump got elected. And then I read about this and I'm like, what the fuck, dude? That's so violating, so intrusive, so illegal.
Yeah, I'm like, what are you doing? And, you know, that's also another thing which is problematic in talking about feminism.
Mm.
That's why I'm sometimes not using this word, because in the whole branch of feminism,
mm-hmm.
and I'm saying branch because, I mean, we have so many different types of feminism. We have Catholic feminism, which is linked to the religion and
mm-hmm.
the actions, like, which are written in the Bible. We have feminists who will be like patriarchal feminists as well.
Mm.
And we have literary feminists where we have women against women.
It's crazy.
And I'm like, I don't want to like necessarily identify myself with sort of term,
yeah.
which is being, interpreted into sort of actions and definitions by others when we are actually fighting with each other. So I'm
That's
usually
right.
just saying that I'm an activist because I'm doing things for others, but I not necessarily, of course, what I do is related to women mostly and women's rights. But I got like such problems sometimes with calling myself a feminist because I'm like, women are forming different groups of feminism
yeah,
and feminists.
Splitting.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't want to be like in one group against another. But this is how the reality looks like.
Yeah, that's how it's turning into now, and it's not going to be constructive. We're obviously so much more progressive when we all work together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's also when you think about, coming on strike and putting some collective actions to change the world. But
yeah.
it's also in your job, you know. If you're, for example, not working solo only, but, if you're working in clubs and stuff, you often need your mate or a few people to help you make money from the customer, for example, yeah.
Right,
and
exactly.
If you are, like, doing modeling, you need a team of your photographers and, for example, people who will help
exactly.
you find customers, and there it is
just
always sort
links.
Of... Yeah, and it's a sort of network, and I'm just
yeah.
like, I just don't understand why some people want to be divided, but yeah, like, I think
either.
I lost a question.
No, it's fine. I'm loving the passion that you speak with. You're clearly like you've got a righteous heart and you've got a rebellious spirit. And I'm just wondering, like, how much does feminism and activism and things like that mean to you as part of you, as part of Sonia? Because it's amazing to listen to you speak. I could honestly listen to you speak forever. I've been just, this is the most quiet I've been in an episode.
Wow, I mean, thank you for saying that. I've been involved so much and a lot, and like, I'm trying to do a lot of different things same time, and activism is a thing that I feel like I want to do, and I feel like it's good to be doing, and it's just like, I'm not alone in this world. I'm not living for myself, actually, like, I'm living with others, and it all, like, everything links together. So if I can make a change, I want to make it, and I want to team up with people, and I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna fight for this, and I'm like not gonna bring me down, and I'm gonna do this at that, and you know. But it's it comes straight from my heart, but it is a lot for, like, mental health as well. And that's some sort of thing I sometimes cannot disconnect. Because sometimes for my mental health, it's better to, like, step up from some stuff. But because I feel like I should take action, and I want to take action because I won't let anyone to speak like that and be like this, so I'm going to tell you this and that, what I think,
damn
and
right.
I'm going to do this and that. Yeah, and later it often, like, comes back into me with a double force because somebody is, you know, doing things to like crush me and talking like very like general right now, but I'm actually thinking about something in my head, like specific in my head, so I know it might be like not the clearest example of what I'm trying to say, but
it's something that's experienced by a lot of sex workers, I think, so speak generally.
I think it's general thing in activism. Like you are active and you try to connect with people, you try to push some projects in real life, in the internet, you create petitions, you write letters, you form sort of documents, you are on group chats to organize stuff, and you know, then you go on streets, you participate in protests, and it's things don't happen like within just one glimpse of an eye, and it's a lot of work. And you know, if you do this, but you also work and try to have some free time, it's just like a lot to deal with it. So
much.
I'm not sure if that was actually like an answer to your question, like how much of the activism of me is like I think it's just a lot.
It's but literally it's, in
it
your
might
being.
Be it might be just my kind of like personal feeling that it's a lot.
I feel the same. I do. I feel like we take on a lot. I feel like we're quite similar, actually, Sonia.
Yeah, I wanted to say the same because I was like, it's quite like funny because like we never met in like real life, but we've been like both watching like each other like on
once
like
you join activism, you kind of like link up with loads of people, don't you?
Yeah, but I hear and I see and I sort of like have an idea how you speak because I see your activity online. I'm like, yes, you'd like I feel like if we were like talking like we talk right now, it's like just like
fluent. 100%. Like, we could get so much done. I think if we sat down and had a meeting, we could change the world.
Yeah, and you know, like this is the thing. Like you want to change the world and you want to make stuff better, but there's only like there's always other people who will be like no, and
always
and you know, and obviously in every sort of thing in your life, in the job, in activism, in personal relationships, you know, you will have people who will be like sort of against you, but I think like, if we have people who want to change stuff, we can't just give up on activism. Because I know some people are like, this is pointless.
Like it's not progressing.
I wouldn't do it because it's not going to change anything. And I'm like, okay, may not change thing for today.
For
not
you
for
personally.
Tomorrow, for not you personally, for not the whole world in a year or 10 years, but maybe in like 100 years, we will have a different society.
Exactly.
And you know, in terms of like a sexual education, in Poland, I've been watching the situation and I can tell the society has been different since about less than 10 years now.
Really?
So the things are progressing regarding like attitude to sex workers at some point. And I say that because I'm saying this on the example of my friend who wrote the book about stripping.
Mm.
And once the book was released in 2015 in Poland, she got a lot of shit from society,
really?
Criticized on Facebook from people who just didn't get the work and didn't get the whole idea, being like, you know, stupid whore. Oh, yeah, you're working as a stripper. What a kind of fucking job. You must be stupid. You must be undereducated.
Oh.
And all of this, like, you know, lots of like
stereotype.
Like, stereotype things. And also, even if so, what if I'm uneducated and what if stripping is the only thing I can do? So what? Doesn't make me a worse person?
100%.
Like, fuck off, right?
How dare you have a job? How dare
exactly,
you try?
Exactly. And you know, that was 5 years ago. And every year, her book and article about it is being kind of like published again on Facebook on a big newspaper she was published in for the first time. And she was telling me that the comments has been changing every year.
Oh, really?
So there was like more of like kind of like aggression and attitude, like, what kind of a work?
Like straight
back
up.
5 years ago than now. Like now people are like
That's
more
good.
Supportive. So it's like things are changing. And now coming back to conclusion, why things are changing, because people raise their voices and
yes.
people do talk about sex work and they do activism stuff, like they organize protests, they do art, they are just visible, and they have balls to be visible, and you know, it takes a lot to say something out loud or create something out loud and also show your face. So yeah, we have people like this, and we also have people who will be like not able to be visible because they're afraid of stigma. They can be, you know, potential, like, you know, attack or something like this, like, you know, bad things can happen. Mm. And they don't have this sort of chance, not a comfort, but a chance to actually speak out loud because they can be heard. And, you know, they are still, like, working for the community, and they will be, like, still, like, active, you know, even though they won't be, like, on a strike or something like this. So it's, like, there is a community. There are, like, people working together, and things can change because we do fucking activists. Don't fucking tell me that sex work isn't work, and what we do is, like, pointless, or we shouldn't be doing it at all because, you know...
How crazy.
Sometimes when I'm thinking about people who are like, yeah, activism won't change things, I'm like...
What? Yeah, have you seen the world? Like, we've changed. We've come a long way. There's a long way to go. Yeah. Hell, there's a long way to go. But there's such a... I don't understand the people that don't want to change things, because it is such, like, an innate quality in me. I just want the world to be better.
Yeah, I think it's a natural kind of, like, human process to change and... you know, develop, and it's like, if we have so many things develop in technology, like with internet and
oh,
like,
my god,
with medicine,
every year there's a new iPhone,
I mean,
right?
Like, if people wouldn't be using their brains, we wouldn't have electricity and all of this. So I'm exactly same with activism, right? And yeah, going there.
Yeah, you've got to actually turn up and do it. It's tricky because it's hard for people to know how to get involved, but I guess people have just got to tune in and listen to people like us, haven't they?
Yeah. I mean, it's always like a matter of time. And,
yes.
And yeah, I think time is a big thing here, because it's going to take a lot from your personal time, and
it does.
You will have less of social life. Because
I feel like all my
activism is
social,
a work as well.
Yeah. All my social conversations sometimes steer to my activism, and sometimes I'm sick of myself talking about it. I'm like, every conversation I have. But you do have to do that sometimes, especially if you're doing a campaign or you're doing a fundraiser or something. You have to just talk to every single person, because that's what works.
Yeah, that's true.
You did one the other night, didn't you? You did a fundraiser.
Oh yeah, I team up with Soldiers of Paul. That's the union in LA that currently raise the money for the undocumented workers in California.
Mm.
So the strippers who can't be helped by the government at all, and also stripping was their only sort of income, so they can pay rent now and they can,
it's
for
just
example,
wiped
bring
out
up their kids. Yeah, so that was the action. I'm very happy I did it. So yeah, I think more actions like that, so we can support the community. Definitely.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of your stream. I didn't watch all of it, but you're so entertaining. Your passion for life that I can tell is coming exuding from you now. It comes across in your shows as well. You're like me. You're so engaging. You were just dancing with wine. You were literally drinking wine, and I was like, I can't take my eyes off of this girl. She's mesmerizing. Do you love performing?
Yeah, I do. It's my passion. But I think it's just because it's like something you just show yourself, and you are just free. I'm like, when I'm performing, I'm having idea of sharing sort of message and communicate with others. So I'm doing something for the entertainment, but I'm doing it by clicking with others. So like, hey guys, we're gonna do this.
Yeah.
And because it's sort of like sharing yourself, I'm just like feeling like I can do whatever I want, because I'm not afraid of being myself, and it's like pure joy to me. Yeah, like I love it. I think that's why I also started stripping. Like, I continue to do it because it was randomly how I decided to be a stripper. But the moment I had my first shift in the club was like, wow, I'm having my own show. This is fucking amazing.
Really? You were like, oh, this is supposed to be my job. Now I get it.
Yes, yes.
Yes. Sonia, you're such a wonderfully engaging personality. I love it. What's, like, in the future for you, obviously, after this stupid, crazy lockdown?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. So, the thing is, I need to rebrand myself, because, let's be honest, working in a sex work has its limits, and in the times like now when we have pandemic, I'm not sure when I can continue sort of the ideas I had for the job. I'm not sure if I'll be able to work in a club in Poland. I'm not sure if I'll be able to meet customers individually. You know, I've been doing that back in London. So it's like it's a thing that will be like sorting itself out within the time. And I don't want to put 100% of my effort in focusing only on sex work because I'm not sure if it's gonna give me any income anymore. So I was thinking about trying to find any job, you know?
Anything.
And that might be very hard right now. But I obviously would like to have something which give me opportunity to move back to London.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about working in, and that's something I'm like, I would hate to do it, but it's a opportunity to get money. So I was like thinking about working in some company like corporation.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
but you've got so many skills.
Like anti-capitalist, you are anti-capitalist. Mm-hmm. But then like everything you do in this world right now is like linked to the system.
Right. And, you can't escape it.
Yeah, you can't escape it. So I think maybe this, but I don't know, you know, working in culture is something that's always been like a thing for me in terms of like engaging with some organizations that create the events, like doing the performing as well. But that's something I cannot 100% focus on right now, because you don't know what kind of future of that industry will be.
Right.
So, like I'll be figuring out. Like I will definitely stay in sex work. I will definitely stay in sex work because that's something I can always jump into, and I've got my ways to do it at some point.
Yeah.
But when it comes to figuring out my other profession right now, it will be a matter of, you know, tries.
Let's see what happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that sex work is something that you always feel you can always come back to. It's like a family. It doesn't matter how long you leave for, you can always come back.
Yeah. I mean, your age doesn't matter. Yeah. I know strippers who are after, like, you know, like they're like having like families and they're around, like, 40s,
they've got like three
or,
kids,
like, 50s. And that's all right. You know, it's not about how old are you. It's not about how do you look like. Mm-hmm. It's just about connecting with people. And as long as you can connect with single person who will pay you for the service, you can do it anytime. So I just like to express that and like really like underline that, because my dad's often like, but you can be a sex worker until you are young and pretty. And I'm like, no, like, mm-mm, I can do like anytime. So, that's the thing, you will always have time and opportunity to do, like, at some point, like, you know, in times like this, like, pandemic is a bit difficult.
But, yeah, I mean, like, literally everything in the whole world is just like, right now. How are you staying calm? Have you got any, like, self-care rituals going on?
Haha, I don't.
Do not.
I don't. I take my medication.
You're just like, okay, we're just getting one day at a time.
No, like, to be honest, it really helped me at some point to be with my parents, because we have the garden over here. So I'm just
so nice.
Going outside, and I'm trying to do a bit of stretching. In terms of like routines, there is something I would like to set for myself.
Oh yeah.
But since I moved back to Poland, I've been like doing so many things same time just to figure out my life that I didn't have time to set up a routine.
Yeah, your life must be, well, it's crazy. Like, you've done a big thing. Moving countries is a big thing anyway. And then also a global pandemic. I mean, nobody can blame you for being.
Yeah. It's, you know, figuring out an insurance in Poland now is a kind of like big deal, and a lot of paperwork.
Oh my God, I hate paperwork. That is the one side of sex work that I dislike, all the admin. People don't realize. Oh my God. Well, for online sex work at least. Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sonia, I've had such a really nice chat with you. I feel like it's flown by.
Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you.
What are you doing this afternoon? How are you spending your eve?
I'm going to have a sex call with a guy I've been playing back in London, honestly. So great. After we're going to hang out, I'm going to just like do a bit of relaxing because I'm currently alone in the house because my parents just went out. So I'm like, I'm going to use an opportunity.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Oh my God, I've been like chronically wanking and eating. What else is there to do?
That is the best. So I mean, like, I'm like, food and sex.
Yeah, yes. Food, sex and wine, that's my life.
It was Sonia, lovely, Rebecca. I'm very happy to link with you. I'm very happy to connect
with you. I'm so glad that we properly had a final conversation. I can't wait to meet up with you when you finally come back to us in London.
Same. I'm giving you like a virtual hug now.
A virtual hug, I know.
Imagine.
I'll hug myself.
Yeah, let's just hug so ourselves.
Just rocking forwards and backwards.
Thank you very much, sweetheart.
Queen, where on the internet can we find you?
I'm still on Instagram.
Oh, is she still there? Yeah.
I'm still there, yeah. On the handle, I'm your electric. I'm your electric girl. Yes. And I'm having the Facebook page as well. And I'm not giving my personal Facebook.
No.
It's not personal. I mean, like it's in mostly like public. But I set up a Twitter over a year ago, but I'm not using it right now as well. So basically,
get on Twitter. I love Twitter.
Yeah, I know it's good. Like, I've been checking you, and I was like, wow, dang girl. Like,
yeah.
She's got the spirit.
I'm on her on Twitter. I'm like, come on, I need the money.
She's got the balls. I'm like, yeah. I've been watching some amazing sex workers working in BDSM as well, and I was like, damn.
I get so much inspiration on Twitter. I'm like, whoa, I did not think of that, and now I'm going to do it. It's great.
Yeah. So thank you for the advice.
Of course.
I'll definitely crack on it once I have time because,
definitely. All that's important right now is that you take care of your beautiful self and continue to survive so that when this is over, we can continue to change the world.
Exactly.
Yay.
And that's such a nice optimistic sum up for you.
Exactly. I like it to end on a high note because everyone's having a bad time right now, aren't they? And even though these serious issues still exist, it's nice to talk about them in a positive way with a positive person.
Yeah. And you know, actually, this is what we need right now. Like, relax, have wine, chocolate, and some sex.
Exactly.
So if you can do it, just go for it.
Do it. All of those things at the same time.
Yes. Chocolate, wine,
and sex. It'll be great. The visual is good.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I love you, and you take care.
You too, darling.
Mwah, mwah, mwah. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.